The world-famous Blue Angels arrive in Yuma, and students are learning through gardening and biking. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Aviation enthusiasts are in for a treat at this year's air show as the Blue Angels are taking flight.
So what you can expect is about 40 minutes of Blue Angels 1 through 6 flying.
And Centennial Middle School has gotten some extra love from the Fort Yuma Rotary Club.
That's what it's all about, is just helping the kids learn skills that they can teach their kids and hopefully make the world a better place for years to come.
Plus, a closer look at this year's teddy bear delivery from a local car club. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. A canceled air show in our neighboring city of El Centro means a new act for the Yuma Air Show. The Blue Angels are kicking off their tour this year right here in Yuma. I spoke with some of the team's pilots about what it's like to perform in Yuma again after 40 years. Yuma Air Show officials announced a major addition to the performer lineup for this Saturday's 60th annual Yuma Air Show, the U.S. Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron, the Blue Angels. Lieutenant Ronnie Hafeza, also known as Blue Angel No. 7, tells us how the team prepares for shows around the country.
Really, it starts at the end of the Pensacola Homecoming Air Show, where winter training will kick off about the week after. The Delta pilots are flying about two times a day, and then we'll show up to winter training in early January, executing two to three flights per day, 6 days out of the week. If you're looking at El Centro alone, it's about 120 training sorties just to prepare for our first flight demonstration. So it's a pretty rigorous schedule. We have to stay on top of our nutrition, hydration, and overall health, but it definitely does a lot to get us prepared for the show season.
I asked the Blue Angels what Yuma Air Show attendees can expect. Event coordinator, Commander Lily Montana.
So this will be what's considered a remote show site, which is unique. Normally when we're flying over an airfield, we'll operate out of that airfield. And so in this instance, we're going to be flying from El Centro overhead. So what you can expect is about 40 minutes of Blue Angels 1 through 6 flying as our flight demonstration. I believe we're going on at 2:30 or 2:15 each day. And preceding the jet's arrival will be our C-130 J Super Hercules. We'll call that Ernie. Normally we have Fat Albert, so we've got a loaner aircraft this year. We'll be arriving ahead of time to set up all of our ground support equipment and deliver our ground support personnel. And then at the end of our flight demonstration, we'll pack everything back up in the C-130, we'll fly off, and then we'll return for the next day.
Lieutenant Hafeza and Commander Montana tell us how the Blue Angels work to fly together in tight formations.
So flying in a tight formation, in formations as close as 18 inches, is it's definitely visual. We don't rely on the instruments to tell us where we're at in time and space. However, the pilots are so well in tune with their aircraft, the stick sensations, the feel of the aircraft, how each aircraft is influencing one another. But to answer your question, it's definitely a visual maneuver. It's quite surreal.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I get to ride in the demo when we do practices, which I'm very fortunate for. And it's different each time. It's different at each show site. It's different depending on the temperature, depending on the density, altitude for that area. It's definitely a different feel in the aircraft, even though the maneuvers are the same at each one of our 32 show sites.
In a post on the Yuma Air Show Facebook page, it said the Blue Angels will be in Yuma for the first time in nearly 40 years. They were scheduled to perform at Naval Air Facility El Centro, but that air show was canceled. Commander Montana told KAWC the Blue Angels community outreach, which includes school visits, will be in the El Centro area due to early scheduling. MCAS Yuma officials say the Yuma Air Show is the only day every year that they are open to the general public. Stay tuned to KAWC for more from the 2026 Yuma Air Show. For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon. A small teddy bear can make a big difference for patients facing a scary hospital visit. Reporter Alexander Rangel has more on the annual delivery of stuffed toys from a local car club.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel. The sound of classic car engines arriving at the hospital could be heard outside of Onvita Health on Wednesday as thousands of plush teddy bears were delivered to NICUs and emergency rooms across Yuma County. The toy bears were delivered by the Foothills Cruisers Car Club as the group marked the 10th anniversary of the donation. The teddy bears are purchased using proceeds from entry fees at the car club's annual show. The group then donates the new bears to healthcare emergency rooms across the community. The main stop on the tour was at Onvita Health in Yuma, where the car club dropped off 1,200 teddy bears.
Well, this is our 10th year of delivering stuffed animals to the kids at the hospital.
Doris Casey with the Foothills Cruisers Car Club is a retired nurse, making the event a highlight for her as she knows firsthand what it's like to see patients receive a teddy bear.
When they come in, they're scared and just panicky. And so if we can calm them down before they have tests or before they have procedures and stuff, we give them a stuffed animal and it's theirs to take home with them.
Casey said the neat thing about the bears is that it also creates a learning moment. If a child is getting a bandage or a test done, they can mimic the procedure by giving the bear a bandage too.
I mean, if they come in with a broken bone, the stuffed animal will get a dressing on its arm also, like, or its leg. So they can relate to that and they have something to hang on to and hug and not feel quite so scared.
While most bears go to children, they are also sometimes given to adult patients who could use a little comfort.
They are for the population that comes in and needs one. I mean, we've had adults that have needed something to hang on to and snuggle with. So it's good. Anybody's can get them.
Onvita Health said the car club has delivered more than 12,000 bears over the past 10 years. Rosa Rubio, a NICU pediatric nurse.
I've been in pediatrics and NICU for 20 years.
Has been present for many of those deliveries.
It's special because these teddy bears allow us to bring a smile on our pediatric patients' faces. They are going through a traumatic experience, a difficult time, and we're able to give them a little bit of comfort with these stuffed animals.
From classic Chevys to vintage Ford trucks, the car club delivered the truckload of bears. The annual tradition actually began 10 years ago when the granddaughter of one of the car club's members was being treated at the hospital. That moment sparked an idea, and ever since, the tradition has lived on. Rubio was among the staff members there Wednesday to receive the bears, alongside dozens of her colleagues who welcomed the plush deliveries with smiles and hugs, knowing how much comfort the small gesture can bring to their patients.
Oh, it's the joy that it brings children's faces. It helps the nurse and the patient develop a different relationship. We have such a difficult time sometimes when we have to poke them, draw them, give them a negative experience, that just bringing that smile to that patient really helps you as a nurse to feel better about your job.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
Coming up after the break, we're hearing from our Education Solutions reporter, Cisco Stargazer, about biking and gardening at Centennial Middle School. Plus, the KAWC Student Newsroom takes a dive into the local music scene. You're listening to Arizona Edition. We'll be right back.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Welcome back to Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. From learning ag in a community garden to learning how to ride and care for bikes in Bike Club, Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer tells us how the Fort Yuma Rotary Club's recent service project is enhancing education for Centennial Middle Schoolers.
There's a saying online that to be loved is to be changed. And this semester, Centennial Middle School's been getting quite a bit of love from the Fort Yuma Rotary Club in the form of some new garden beds, a new shipping container, a mural, and a new bike track. They might seem unrelated, but they all tie back to Stephanie Littlewood Moody, who teaches science and agriculture at Centennial. In each of her classes, students get the chance to learn hands-on through a community garden. Outside of class, they can join the bike club she runs and learn to ride safely and fix up a bike.
This started out mainly as a bike club project, and it just kept snowballing in a great way. I was trying to figure out ways to get donations for the bikes, and I have 10 mountain bikes here that were donated from Twisted Spoke, and they're wonderful bikes, but I need tires, I need this, I need that. So the school doesn't really, like, you know, we don't really have a budget for something like that. So I was trying to think of different ways besides like selling candy bars and like that kind of stuff. Like, what was some ways to get the community involved?
And that's how the Fort Yuma Rotary Club got involved. President Darlene Firestone, a friend of Littlewood Moody's, suggested meeting the classroom and bike club's needs through a service project.
Every year, Fort Yuma Rotary does a service project that we choose, and we like to give back to the community. A lot of it is helping with students, elderly, and just giving the community the extra resources and help and money to be able to get these projects done.
Standing by the garden beds at Centennial, Firestone shared a little more about what the Rotarians were doing.
We are all helping today. There's probably about 20 Rotarians here. We are building the garden beds for the students. We are filling it with mulch, dirt. We're building trellises. We're painting a conics box that we had delivered for the bike club and all their bike parts so it can get out of the classroom. So there's a lot going on, but between all of us and the students, it's just a great feeling.
This project in particular is being carried out in two main stages. The first took place in late January. Rotarians and volunteer students replaced the school's garden beds with sturdier, longer-lasting metal beds. Fellow Rotarians Scott McLeod and Rachel Baker shared why they pitched in and lent a helping hand that day, too.
I'm here today because we're helping out the school and doing good projects that'll help the kids in their adult lives and help their generations do great things moving forward. And that's what it's all about, is just helping the kids learn skills that they can teach their kids and hopefully make the world a better place for years to come.
I was raised in South Carolina on a farm, and I see that kids kind of think that food and vegetables come from the grocery store. And I thought it was really great that my school has dedicated teachers like Mrs. Littlewood that's bringing agriculture back into the realm of reality so students know where they get their food from. So we're helping to build some planting beds, showing them it's not just for sustenance of the body, but also the mind.
Rotarians and students alike each had a role to play in overhauling the garden. McLeod was a shoveler.
Lots of shoveling. Shoveling for days.
Joseph Siwamuki, a student, was also shoveling.
Right now I'm helping shoveling the dirt into wheelbarrows so that way they can take it to other garden beds.
Student Julio Gamboa helped out with wheelbarrows too.
I'm helping by filling the wheelbarrows with dirt and bringing the dirt to the flower beds.
And Juliana Hidalgo, another student, was a bit shy, but she shared why she was volunteering.
Because I like to help with it.
Gamboa and Siwamuki offered their whys too.
I'm helping out because I need hours for my gap class, and also it's better than just staying at home.
I'm helping today because I want to improve the garden area and help kids who are in Miss Littlewood's third period agriculture and other agriculture classes to help improve with their learning.
Together, they assembled and filled the new beds, 16 of them to replace the 8 wooden ones the class has had since 2021. They also installed water systems. But the weekend was more than just garden work. The volunteers also painted a mural over a shipping container, which the Rotarians provided as a storage solution for the bike club. And that need was actually the very first one that prompted the project.
In my lab, I've got bikes everywhere, like bikes galore, and then all the supplies that go with taking care of them, the helmets, the tires, the tools, like everything. It's all over the lab. Well, it's in one section. So I was trying to fundraise in the beginning for just a shed. Just a shed. That's all I wanted. And, you know, those are a couple of grand to try to raise money for that. And then we had a break-in over at a different school. So I got really nervous about a shed because our bikes are not cheap bikes. They're, you know, about $500-$600 a piece. So I got super nervous about that and thought, well, we need a better version of a shed.
The Rotarians met with Littlewood Moody at the school to brainstorm some ideas. They ultimately decided a shipping container with a strong lock should do the trick. The container would also be adapted with the help of Mr. Raleigh, a Yuma education legend, according to Littlewood Moody. And as an extra nice touch, the container was painted with a mural containing the Rotary Club wheel, a wolf, because Centennial is home of the wolves, and some bicyclists riding through a desert scene. Because riding is naturally one of the bike club's activities. It's a little more involved than that, though. The club itself doubles as a bike shop of sorts, thanks in part to business owner Sean Chapman, who's not only donated over a dozen bikes for the club, but his time too.
Each week, my students come in on Thursdays after school, and we work on bikes, we triage them, we clean them up, and I'm very lucky to have Sean Chapman from Twisted Spoke to come in every Thursday voluntarily to help me with this project. So if something's wrong with the bike, he'll triage it, we'll order parts, we'll fix it, whatever we need to do. And the students are so excited to be able to learn how to fix their own bikes or even learn how to fix a bike in general. So this is an interesting skill that they can take with them as they grow up.
For Littlewood Moody, it's really fun to see how excited the students get.
It's interesting. They come in at lunch. Oh, can I come in work on bikes during lunch? Like, no, go eat your lunch and go relax, you know? And they're learning stuff as simple as changing an inner tube. And then they're also learning, oh, well, now we know how to work on brake cables and like really more challenging things that I never thought I'd be able to do with them.
And there are a lot of things the kids love about the club.
They love the idea of camaraderie. They have their friends. They also get that hands-on skills, like I'm going to learn how to fix something. I mean, so many different things that they're getting out of it. I just feel like it's inspiring to watch my little students grow into little mechanics, you know, and they're just so excited to do it.
On top of that, they learn safety too.
In the bike club, I don't just teach them how to fix their bikes. I teach them how to ride safely on the roads, how to do the hand signals, and if they do break down, well, here's a kit. And very excited that we have little mini kits for them to physically put on their bikes, their personal bikes, and even like a little first aid kit. So they break down and we're riding on the road. Okay, let's pull off the road. Let's do some skills here. Let's actually think about what do we need to fix. So
the second part of the Fort Yuma Rotary Club's project will further support the students' learning by way of a new bike track.
We're going to rebuild the entire bike track. So right now the bike track is the entire back field of the school. And the only issue I'm running into is that's a city park. So I don't have access to water. And so what I've done in the past is I've taken a hose, you know, a couple hundred feet and tried to work on it. But I've just decided, you know what, let's make this more attainable. Let's make this something that everyone can help with instead of just my poor husband and my husband and I doing it.
This effort will be entirely done by Gutierrez Canales Engineering.
We have an amazing company along with that's in Fort Rotary, Yuma. It's GCE, and they are donating their time, their machines, and their dirt So they're going to rebuild it at no price to us, which is like, whoa, that's amazing.
That part of the project will be taking place over spring break at the end of March. By the time it's over, Centennial will look a little different thanks to a helping hand from community. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation.
Up next, we're featuring a piece from The Hotspot, KAWC's student podcast. This week, the student newsroom takes us into the local music scene, exploring how local promoters support music through grassroots efforts and how it takes a community to build a local music culture.
From the KAWC student newsroom, I'm Maya Manry. Music is an emotional art form for the people listening and the people making it. Here we have a testimonial from a member of local shoegaze band, Your Favorite Dress.
Hey guys, it's Sabbath from Your Favorite Dress. Just wanted to give some love back to all the people that have ever tuned in to KAWC or supported smaller local artists. The community around music is something I wholeheartedly love. Every show, song streamed, and cheer from an audience that I've ever played to is the most unimaginable feeling. And if it wasn't for the people that listen and make that possible, I have no idea where I'd be at right now. My life has just been impacted in ways I would have never imagined, from working with some of the coolest people I know down to just having a community to connect with. So go support your local artist, go buy merch, go to a show, and above all, go have fun.
It can be hard to get your music out there. There's so many avenues with social media that your voice can get drowned out in the many people just like you. So why not get a little bit of help now and then? Adam Olivares runs the Instagram account ReadTheFlyerMF, an account almost entirely dedicated to promoting local bands and shows. Asking Adam about why he started the account, he stated,
I want to get all the info out there. For anything that interests me, I have a feeling that, well, maybe there's someone out there in a rough spot, in a depressed situation. Maybe they're not doing so good and they need an outlet, kind of like how I did. So I saw an opportunity to create that flyer page.
And it does help spread the word. Isaac Irie, co-owner of the local music collective Cryptone, simply shared that it does make a difference.
It extends the reach from more reach than you would have by yourself, honestly.
Adam also makes it a point to say that he's just a messenger.
Hit up the people that are posting the flyer. They know way more about it than me. I'm just here as like kind of a secondary source. I'm not a primary source for a lot of these shows.
With some help from Isaac, of course.
No, I think in where I come in with the read the flyer is that I just pass on information and all the years of experience I have doing this stuff and seeing other bands and groups come up, and I could just pass that information. I just pass information. That's all I am.
But earlier, I did say mostly music promotion is what the account does. Adam also shares the responsibility of having this kind of voice.
There's activism involved as well, not just partying and having fun, you know, because a lot of shows are partying and having fun. You know, everyone loves music. Everyone loves jamming with their friends. But there's also a very important awareness aspect to it. Mental health, missing persons, fundraisers, local food drives, whatever. Anything to get the community involved. Anything to spark a mind and say, hey, maybe we should focus our attention on that.
Even beyond activism, a good show can have impact on the community.
If there's a good band, they want to kind of extend their reach and kind of reach a certain part of home, I'd say Yuma's a perfect place for that. Revolution played a concert here in 2008. They're a really big reggae band.
Yeah.
And people still talk about that to this day. 2008, that was almost two decades ago. You see the same thing happening on the local level. If an El Centro band comes and plays here, a lot of kids are going to remember them. Same with Phoenix bands, same with San Diego or LA bands.
And going out of your comfort zone is something that both Isaac and Adam recommend.
Yeah, you work as a collective, always link up with everybody. Because everyone's a bedroom anything, you know what I'm saying? And that's good when you're in your house and you're like meditating on your work, be it whatever. But when you come out and you do have that community, it does, you know, create a snowball effect. And all of our works become more impactful to everyone involved if we move as collectives and not, you know, as individuals.
Yeah.
Just how we've always been humans. It's always community.
Yeah. I also want to add to that. Collective does not mean like a group that's in a bubble.
Yeah, no.
Collective means reaching out, yes, in a network. Because we're all connected one way or another, you know?
6 degrees of separation.
I hate when people pick a certain genre or pick a certain art style and stick to it, and they think only this art style can prove success. You can find success through many different avenues, dude. Mm-hmm.
Community is a big part of music, and where you find it is just as important. So make sure to go out, look for some flyers, and have a good time. From the KAWC Student Newsroom, I'm Maya Manry.
You just heard a piece from our student podcast, The Hotspot. Hear the full episode on our website, kawc.org, under podcasts. KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.